very practical halacha. In general, we're not sure about whether or not a bracha should be said. If we said it already, we haven't said it, we said it correctly. So we usually employ the term of, employ the methodology of subject brachas lahakel, that we have a right to be lenient, not recite a bracha as a precaution, because saying a bracha would be unnecessary, would be an additional violation of using Hashem's name in vain, and therefore we don't, if we're unsure if the bracha is called for, we refrain from making the bracha altogether. The exception to that is what we have this time of year when we're adding different things into the Shemona Esrei, such as changing Hakel HaKadosh or Melech HaKadosh. So because it's not simply a 50-50 split, it's an overwhelming acclamation that we are accustomed to saying Hakel HaKadosh, so we have to assume a person, when they're not sure, said what they're used to saying the rest of the year, and therefore would have to repeat Shemona Esrei if they're unsure if they added Hakel HaKadosh, Melech HaKadosh, or any other time of the year when it comes to Ritzei, Yalav Yevo, when it's not our, what we're used to saying. The exception to that would be, and this is not explicit in poskim in general, so I think it could be misunderstood, if a person is not 50-50, but they have a very, very strong sense, maybe 90-10, or better than that, maybe even you don't need that far, but you're pretty convinced that you did say the right thing, but you still have that, question in the back of your mind. You don't have the full confidence, but you're pretty sure you said the right thing. So then we would revert to the normal rule of Safek Brachos L'Hakel. So when Dr. Gross was pretty convinced that he said Melech HaKadosh, so I wouldn't question that. I didn't hear any better. You are the person closest to the Baal Tefillah, so therefore you have a right to say that Melech HaKadosh was said. Okay, Torah for your table. Two fascinating insights, beautiful lessons from the Otsos HaTorah around the same pasuk. We find ourselves literally at the very end of Moshe Rabbeinu's lifetime, the very end of his discourse, his final Musar Shmuz, before he dies. This is actually the last day of his life. Vayelech opens up. Moshe Rabbeinu says, I am 120 years old today. Happy birthday, Moshe Rabbeinu, Zion Adar, and therefore the conclusion of the messages that he leaves off to the Jewish people. And of course, the Musar includes foretelling what will happen in the future when Klal Yisrael goes off the derech and is ultimately punished with exile. Speaking on behalf of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Vayomer Hashem Moshe, he's actually addressing Moshe Rabbeinu. Hashem says that I know, but I'm going to bring you to Eretz Yisrael, but unfortunately, Klal Yisrael will stray from the path and they will follow Avodah Zarah. Please listen carefully. If you had a chumash in front of you, it would be even better. But Hashem says, it will come when you encounter ra'os rabos v'tzaros. Okay, ra'os rabos v'tzaros. Many painful, evil happenings that will befall you. Ra'os rabos, many bad things, v'tzaros, and difficult straits that you will find yourselves suffering from. This accounting, this prophecy will serve as a witness that it was foretold. The Torah will not be forgotten, and the Jews will be able to look back and say, it's our fault. The Torah goes on to elaborate again. Same lashon. Many bad things that are particularly distressing. The reaction of Jewish people will be that it's because we don't have Hashem amongst us, that's why we are suffering now from Ra'os Ha'ila. The question is, in the beginning of the Pasuk, describes the calamities as Ra'os Rabos Fitzaros, a terrible description, and a much longer description. And the end, Ki'ina L'Kai B'Kirbi, because we realize Hashem is not amongst us, therefore, Mitzuni Ha'Ra'os Ha'ila. These terrible things have befallen us. So how did it go from being Ra'os Rabos Vitzaros to just Ra'os? What happened? So first the Gematria. The Chidah quotes from the Sefer Lev Aryeh that the Gematria of the word Ra'os is 676. Okay. The Klolos in Sefer Devarim, the Tocha we just read prior to Nitzan Vayelach, has 676 letters in it. Okay, so this Ra'os is corresponding to the 676 letters of the prophecy of all the terrible things that will befall the people. At the same time that you had those 676 letters of Tochacha, the name of Hashem appears 26 times. Yudke Vavke. The Shem Hashem that denotes mercy, Rachman. The Gemashia of the Shem Hashem, Yudke Vavke, is 26. 26 times that name appears. 26 times 26. You guessed it. 676. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Rachamim is underlying the Klalos, underlying the Tochacha Hashem is behind us. So once you have that, it's beautiful. The Pasuk says, Metzauhu Ra'os. Ra'os, the Gematria is 676. So Vayomar Alki Eina Okai B'Kibi Metzauni HaRa'os Ha'ila. The realization that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not in our midst, that's what brings about the Ra'os. Hashem, the 26 times 26, the 676, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not in our midst, therefore the other 676 is what we suffer from. The realization that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not amongst us, that's what allows the calamity of the Tochacha to hit its mark and to be most poignantly felt. And that's what David HaMelech says, Rabos Ra'os Tzadik Umikulam Yatzlenu Hashem. Rabos Ra'os Tzadik, Moshe Rabbeinu, the Tzadik, describes to us the Rabos Ra'os Umikulam Yatzlenu Hashem. That Hashem, that realization of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not amongst us, not Bikirbeinu, that's how it ended up. Because we had that disconnect from the Bnei Shalom. One more word along these lines, very, very powerful, which will give us the answer to the question we started with. Why do we start off talking about Ra'os, Rabos, Vitzaros, and then ends up just being Ra'os? So it should come clear at this, it should become clear at this point that it's taking HaKadosh Baruch Hu out of the equation. Alki Ein Elokai B'Kirbi allows us to realize the way the Pasuk phrases it in two different ways. Let me explain. Rav Shach came to Eretz Yisrael. He escaped from Europe, from Lithuania, from Vilna in 1940, just before the Nazis advanced to that part of Europe. Came to Eretz Yisrael, but after the war, after World War II, he was right in the middle of the action and the danger of 1948. He lived in Yerushalayim, and of course, the Jordanian sniper fire got very, very close to residential areas because they had possession of the old city and the territory that we're now very comfortable visiting. They were very, very close to even Meyasharim and Geula, which is where Rav Shach lived, close to the home of the Brisker Rebbe. So he said that what's being told to us over here in the Pasuk, you have Rabos Vitzaros. So how bad is that? That's very, very bad and very bad. So I said to the kids in the Parsha Shir over Shabbos, over Rosh Hashanah, why do we say Shana Tova Umisuka? Why do we have to have both? If it's good, it's sweet. If it's sweet, it's good. Why do you need both? So the answer is because sometimes we're blessed with kindness of Hashem, but we don't always feel that. We don't always taste the sweetness. Either we take it for granted, or we're so busy that it doesn't even hit its mark. So it's a really important thing to pray for you that's not just good, but a goodness that we can really taste, that has a sweetness to it as well. So there's Ra'os, Rabos Vitzaros. The Ra'os are objectively bad. People are getting hurt, people are suffering, people are sick, God forbid. So that's bad. But it doesn't always have to be a tsar as well. What can be Ra isn't always a tsar. It depends on how you look at it. The more that you recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu is behind it, that there's a lesson to learn from it, then you can at least sweeten the moment with a perspective that there's a purpose. There's something to grow from. There's something that I'm supposed to take out of the event that I'm going through. So Ra'os Rabos Vitzaros, that's how it seems on the surface. But when you get down to it, when you realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is really behind it, it's only going to be like that when Ein Elokai B'Kirbi. But the more that you realize Hashem behind the scenes, then it's only Ra'os. There's a suffering. But the suffering can be understood from a different perspective that isn't as painful because at least I appreciate that there's a big picture, there's something that we're moving towards that is redeeming. So he wrote these words in 1948 when he completed his Sefer and the introduction to his Sefer as an understanding of what he was going through, but putting things in perspective that the Ra wasn't quite as bad as it had to be taken because it's only when in Al-Kaib it could be then you feel the brunt of it. The more you see Hashem behind the scenes, the more you're able to swallow, the more you're able to appreciate it and think big of where it is that I'm supposed to grow from this challenge.